Good morning and welcome to our first episode of 2021 of A Minister, A Priest, and A Rabbi Walk Into the Radio Station. I'm Dr. Pandora Carlucci, and I'm joined with Jay Horgan this morning. Hi, Jay. How's it going today?
Pandora, couldn't be better. Couldn't be better to be with you and everybody else today. A great way and an uplifting way to start off the new year. So thank you. Thank you for asking.
It is a nice way to start the new year. And Jay and I are honored to host Rabbi Tom Alpert, Reverend Eric Cherry, and Reverend Kathy McAdams. They are our team of faith leaders, and they will lead us through this morning's discussion. But just to get things going and kind of catch up, because our last show was in December, how did everyone fare with the Christmas holidays and the launch into 2021? And I think we'll just kind of go around from one to another. And Kathy, Reverend Kathy, would it be all right if we began with you?
Absolutely. We had a lovely Christmas. It was remote, of course, which all our worship is right now. But our pageant leaders put together a wonderful remote pageant. They used some video from pageants gone by, and they did some interviews with the children about what Christmas means to them and about their involvement with the pageant in the past. And we had a Zoom watch party where we all got to view it together and had some prayers. And then later on Christmas Eve, we had a more formal service. And, with the exception of not being able to be together, it was a lovely time.
Kathy, Reverend Kathy, I want to say you posted somewhere a picture of you. I'm sure you were leading the service, the holiday service, and it was you, a chair, most people won't remember that, but a TV dinner stand and your computer. I thought
it was a stool, but yeah.
Yes, I thought that was awesome.
If I had known my spouse was going to take that picture, I would have put on nicer pants and not slippers.
That is so funny, because before you folks joined us, that's exactly what I was talking to Pandora about. In these day and times, all we have to do is make sure our shirt's clean from the middle of our chest up.
Yeah. That's right, and the hair's brushed in the front.
Exactly. Or what hair's left. So.
Right.
Okay. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt, but I thought that picture was just so neat, and it was something that kind of went to our times that we're dealing with right now, but the fact that people are persevering and doing what they have to get through the time. So I just wanted you
to know that
even though you're not happy with your pants selection, I thought it was just a great, great picture.
Right.
I know, Rabbi Tom, you have shared with us that Hanukkah is an at-home holiday and celebration for your faith. Can you just share with us a little bit of how your congregation celebrated and how you welcomed 2021?
Sure. This is, two parts. First, let me talk about Hanukkah. It is normally a stay-at-home holiday and a time for families to come together, as many Jewish holidays are. But of course, in these times, it's harder to come together. So we actually did a lot more for Hanukkah from our congregation than we usually do. And one of the things that we did, which turned out to be great, was we got a reservation over at Beaver Pond, and we put baskets of candles out on the water, and people came down in family groups to light their candles and send them out onto the water. And it was lovely. And we had some FM radio station. We lit the menorah. We had some music going. And people were just so happy to be able to be with each other. And people decorated their trunks. for Hanukkah, the trunks of their cars. So, you know, it was so much fun. People really enjoyed being together. And it just reminded you again of how much people are craving that connection. So we lucked out. We had great weather. I assume that's because I have a pipeline, but you never know. It was just a lovely, lovely evening. And we did several other programs for Hanukkah. In terms of the new year, you know, and your original question was, how did we celebrate Christmas? Well, the odd thing is we did sort of do something for Christmas in that the December 25th was a Friday. So that night was the start of Shabbat, of the Sabbath. And so on Christmas night, I spoke about Jewish-Christian relations. And then, of course, that also meant that New Year's night was the Sabbath. And we talked some about, you know, what the new year could mean for people. So, you know, we sort of partook of the larger culture in our own way.
I think it sounds wonderful. I was trying to envision the baskets of candles floating on Beaver Pond and kind of what they represent, all of the people, you know, kind of a visualization of coming together. We can't come together person to person, but a representation, you know, as we go out and we put our cares out there as we try to share with one another. And I think listening to Reverend Kathy and listening to your descriptions, so many opportunities for people to come together, and something that's so important. And I know Reverend Eric, that the Unitarian Church had some different activities that were going on, and ways to reach out, not non-traditional anymore. These are ways that are becoming more traditional as part of, as we become accustomed to social distancing and all of that. Can you share with us some of your December holiday celebrations and launch into the new year?
Sure. Let me first of all just say thank you to Rabbi Tom for having that event at Beaver Pond. Clearly, that was wonderful service to your congregation, but it was also a service to our town. And so I just want to say thank you for that. Yeah, at First Universalist, we are still virtual in our services. And the Christmas Eve pageant with the kids was a lot of fun. We do an impromptu one where you sort of tell people, okay, in 2 minutes, we're going to need three wise people. And then they scurry to get, you know, something to represent that during the service. And it was a lot of fun. We had at least one dinosaur in the manger this year, which was pretty neat. And so that's our early Christmas Eve service. And our late one is a little bit more solemn, and what we did this year for the first time was had a drive-in option for that service. So we put up a huge projection screen and broadcast the audio over FM to car radios, and that was a lot of fun, and we'll probably play around with that technology in other ways this year too. I would say the most profound part about that was when we had finished lighting candles for Silent Night, as is traditional, and sang "We Wish You a Merry Christmas." The cars in the parking lot started honking their horns, and you know. The staff was inside the church, and the people from home were on Zoom, and it just felt connected, you know, and it's not something that anybody really expected, or, you know, that you thought it might bring a tear to your eye, but it sort of did. And that was really neat. And because it's kind of a melancholy, you know, it's not what Christmas Eve is usually like, but it signaled something about it. And so that was special. I also want to say that over this past Sunday, we celebrate the arrival of the new year with a ritual of burning sentiments, ideas, or heavinesses that we've carried from the previous year that we are ready to let go of. And we did that literally with a bonfire in the grove at FUSF during the Sunday morning service. And while that's always kind of a powerful congregational experience in person, it felt that way even virtually this year. And so that was pretty neat too.
What an awesome idea. The bonfire, kind of burning your burdens from the past. And, you know, what you did, Rabbi, over at Beaver Pond, I think is also just such a symbolic, and even though it's symbolic, I think it is such a uplifting weight off the shoulders lifting. I think that's tremendous. I really do. I think it's a neat thing that has become, you know, so much more commonplace than it had been years ago. So I think you guys doing that was just tremendous for it, as Reverend Cherry said, not just for your congregation, but then friends of your congregation and then friends of the friends and of the friends, if that makes sense. It probably doesn't because I said it.
No, you both actually have done one. Both you and Pandora should consider the ministry. You've got wonderful interpretations.
Absolutely. But,
I have a couple of books from college that my report card does not reflect that. So thank you. If they were still around, I would let them know.
But in addition to that, what I was going to say is that, you know, it's the classic example of necessity as the mother of invention. If we did not have this pandemic, there is no way that we would have thought of doing that. Hanukkah would have moved on in its normal, quiet course. But then because of this, one of our congregants came up with this idea. Then a bunch of other people got involved and we made it happen. And I get all the credit because I'm the front person, but really they all came up with this. And executed it. And the result was that, you know, we now have something that we think is going to be a tradition from here on in, and that's how these things work. You know, you do something and then you learn. And we're very happy with this and hope to keep it going forward.
That's great.
That is great. I think it's a great idea, a great tradition. You bring up something, a great point that it's new, but it was so powerful. You continue to do it. I go back to, you know, thinking back on the past 10 months and as we approach, I don't want to call it an anniversary, but we're very close to being in the way we're together now for a year is probably 8 weeks off, 9 weeks off. It reminds me when you said that, Rabbi, that when we were a part of the high school graduation parade, we had parents and kids, even during the parade, because we broadcasted it live, kids that were juniors saying, when did we start planning our parade? This was the greatest thing. So it is neat, I think, how we've adapted. What have all three of you kind of found? There's obviously some things that have worked, some things that haven't worked. What are some of the things that, again, I hate using the word highlights, but I think the past 10 months have brought out different strengths of people, different ideas that we would have never had. So anything that you folks are particularly proud of that, whether it was you or one of your congregants came up with, that you've kind of adapted. So Rabbi, I'll go with you because you said I was almost smart. So let's start with you.
Okay. For our High Holy Days, where normally we get huge numbers of people gathering together, you know, we had to do it virtually, but our technical people, congregants, we created a service that we think worked pretty well online. And people were connected with us and want to have a sense that they're going to keep doing that. And we'll have to figure out how to adapt High Holy Day services going forward, because there are going to be people who are going to want to continue to have it online. We had, you know, as other places have done, wonderful music connections that people put together, just as the Interfaith Choir did for Thanksgiving. And having that and the, you know, people now have learned how to do that. And I can't imagine that that's going to stop once we are able, God willing, soon to get back in person fully again. So those are just a couple of examples on the, you know, on the liturgical side, on the worship side. But there are probably lots of other things too. I'll let my colleagues come in on that one.
Reverend Kathy, what about you folks?
Well, yeah, the technical stuff has been a real challenge. I mean, I feel some sense of accomplishment that basically I had to figure out a lot of this, and it's not something that we learned in seminary. I spent a lot of time at Guitar Center talking to a DJ about different equipment, and I've consulted various people. Because when we first started doing it in March, we had to figure out, you know, just how to worship remotely from the sanctuary. But then we moved outdoors in the summer and wanted people to be able to participate in person as well as remotely. So we had to figure out how to make that happen. And then with that equipment, we moved back inside and went back to full remote. And it just seems like every week there's a new technical challenge that we keep trying, you know, keep figuring out. And usually it's, oh, that button wasn't pushed, or some switch wasn't on, or something like that. But one challenge we've had is that we've had to furlough our music director. And that's because, you know, the bulk of her job was directing the choir and leading congregational singing, and we can't do those things right now. And, you know, the parish is already challenged financially, and so we just felt like that was an area where we needed to cut back. So that was sad, and that means that I'm trying to find, you know, public domain things that we can use on Zoom, as well as encouraging people from the parish to submit videos of themselves or sing on Zoom or come in and sing live from the sanctuary. You know, we're making it work. We're getting by. We're trying to have fun while we do it. But it's very challenging. It really is.
Absolutely. It is extremely challenging, and you know, you I think Kathy said that probably one of the truest statements when you first started. You weren't trained for this. You haven't done this. None of us were. And more, I think you folks, because you're leading a group of people that are committed to their faith. You had to learn on the fly. You know, you look at teachers, you look at everybody, and we've all had to adapt. And it's great to see the vast, vast, vast majority of people doing stuff that they never thought they could do. And I think that is one of the great things that is going to come out of all this tough circumstances and challenges that we have. Reverend Eric, how about you and you folks there? I hope you've read all the books that are in the bookshelf behind you. So
yeah, that's called a prop, Jay.
I agree with you.
You know what? We are going to take some lessons about creativity and resiliency out of this whole mess, and they're going to hold us in really good stead. And I just want to agree with Rabbi Tom and Reverend Kathy about the, you know, the technical challenges. And I want to note that beyond kind of communal worship, all of our congregations are also, you know, bringing creativity and resiliency to, you know, things like justice work. And I think that there's been an opportunity around there for people to stop doing some of the concrete stuff that's been really important over a long, long time, and instead to do kind of a deep dive, to do some imagining, some creative reimagining of work. And, you know, I think we're seeing that as an interfaith community in food insecurity work. In our congregation, we've seen it in our welcoming congregation ministries for the LGBTQ plus community. And frankly, this morning, I'm feeling a lot of how that has been effective in our national campaign called You the Vote. And this was a wide effort to assure ballot access to people around the country in the national election, and more specifically today in Georgia in the special election. And we saw images of postcards and letters that people received in Georgia that made a difference in them deciding to go out and exercise their constitutional responsibility to engage in the election. So learning a lot from that too.
I you know what, that's, you bring up Reverend Eric, I think such a strong point, that I wonder if some of the reactions we've had to the events that have happened in the last 10 months, the George Floyd incident and the social, you brought up social justice. If I wonder if we were not in the pandemic situation that we are, would we have reacted, and people have, and the vote, bringing out the vote, those are probably our two biggest things that have happened nationally, but obviously besides the pandemic. I wonder if we would have all been as vigorous in approaching these things if it weren't for the pandemic. I wonder, you know, so that may be another good thing to come out of what we're in right now.
Okay. I it's hard to know the answer to that question. It's a great question. And I guess what we can pray for is that we will take learnings and lessons, and as you were saying earlier, creativity and resilience from this into where we're headed. We don't have to go back to the way things were, and
right,
and hopefully we will take some of those learnings into how we're going to be.
Yeah, Pandora, that was Jay. Great question one, Pandora zeros. So I take the early lead. Go ahead, Pandora, I'm sorry.
I don't know what we're doing here for a second, but what I liked about the conversation was not only the successes, and everybody listening to it learns from them and say, oh, you know, I could try a version of that, or this would be possible in this situation, or an outreach at a place of work, or at a place of volunteering or philanthropic work. But also to Kathy's point, Reverend Kathy, I apologize, I forgot.
That's okay, you can Reverend call me Kathy.
I have a friend, Kathy, and I apologize. Reverend Kathy, when you acknowledged there are challenges and that it isn't easy, that is important to hear also, because when we listen to people who have done great things and helped their congregations to take steps, if it's hard for us, we think that maybe we can't do it. But when you hear from other people that it is hard, but you can do it, that makes a difference. That gives you that strength, that fortitude to go and move and take those challenges. And I think that the three of you share knowledge, but you share challenges as well as successes. And it comes together.
Good.
We always have a discussion focus on our show. And this year, this year. This week, our focus is New Year's resolutions. And kind of, you know, do you make them? Do you keep them? And in preparing for the show, I thought, I wonder how they came to be. And thanks to Wikipedia, I learned that it was the Romans that first came up with the concept of resolutions. And they have progressed through history in various different ways, and that there also is a faith belief connection to them in the fact that oftentimes a resolution has to do with personal growth, something that we want to accomplish as an individual, to maybe give back more, to be a better person. We all strive to maybe do something more in our life, and that New Year's resolution might help. It can also be something that's more fun, to accomplish a new adventure. But right now, we're in a different environment with COVID, and how are our congregations throughout Franklin perhaps using or not using the concept of a New Year's resolution? And maybe we, as we do this, I'll let you put your own personal spin on it. And if I could begin with Reverend Eric Cherry, and you could share maybe what's happening with your congregation and New Year's resolutions.
Thanks, Dr. Pandora. And so I got to tell you, I don't have strong opinions about New Year's resolutions. I know that for some people, nothing freezes them more than this idea about making a promise that's hard or perhaps even impossible to keep. And so I certainly respect that. And I also know that that patterns only change if we try to do something differently. And so for me, the New Year's resolution thing is mostly about that, to make a foray, to make an attempt. You know, it's almost taking a lesson from the 12 steps and a one day at a time thing instead of a full year kind of a thing. And, you know, in my experience, that sometimes that lands and settles and really works. And you find yourself 6 months later looking back and said, wow, it was good to say, I'm gonna do this. And so for that reason, I try to stay open-minded about resolutions. This year, I saw somebody say something about walking 2,021 miles during 2021. I thought that would be great, that would be a good pattern for me too. So that's my intention or resolution for 2021. I'll probably do some of those miles on a bike instead of by foot, but that's what I'm holding on to. And, you know, for congregations, I think what I'm asking is that our commitments over the year to really follow the legacy of people that that we lost in 2020. And like for my colleagues, I'm sure Congressman John Lewis is kind of one of those leaders that is very present there. And so I hope that the congregation I serve is going to get into good trouble this year, whether we're in COVID lockdown or face-to-face, and to carry his legacy is a resolution that's present for us and for me in 2021.
I like the idea of the levity of the 2,021 miles walked, and yet also the strong sense of capturing some of the strength that Mr. John Lewis embodied in his life and in his work. It shows the breadth and scope of outlook towards a new year. Reverend Kathy, would you like to kind of chime in on this?
Sure. We don't really have a New Year's resolution kind of tradition in the Episcopal Church, and to me it kind of feels artificial. I keep coming back to that saying about we make plans and God laughs. We do have a liturgical calendar that provides a whole season, the season of Lent, for introspection and soul searching, amending our lives, and then a new beginning on Easter. I think a season is more appropriate than a day, because you really do need time to, take that inventory and assess, am I following where God is leading? And if not, how do I get back on track? So that's more meaningful to me. You know, like any organization, the church, we set goals for the year, but I wouldn't call them resolutions. We try to, listen for God's guidance and direction. One thing we do, we have a couple of things coming up in the near future. We're going to be reading The New Jim Crow by Michelle Alexander and doing an adult ed discussion by Zoom. And then we're hoping to do an online paint night, just for, fun and fellowship. So kind of a nice balance of education, which hopefully will lead to service and activism, as well as something fun.
So I think that is so good to hear from the three of you. But it made me think, and this is a little off our kind of meeting agenda, if you will. How do we keep that going? The things that you've done, it is, all of it is new approaches, new ways. How do we keep the positive stuff? And I was thinking, when Reverend Eric talked about Congressman Lewis, how do we keep that activism going? Because at some point, we're never going to get back to the normal we had, but we're going to get closer to it. People are going to be able to start doing more things, going more places. How do we keep that activism, the voting, the social justice still at such a front of people's minds, where I think right now it's a little easier because we're all kind of stuck in our place and we need something to keep our mind going. Reverend Kathy, I'm sure you've thought about it. Have you come to any maybe positive ideas or conclusions as to what you can do to keep it going with your congregants?
I agree with you that it's in front of people's minds right now because there aren't as many distractions. And I really hope that when there are more options available to people, that they won't fill up their calendars, that they won't become so overextended like they were before. Maybe consider this kind of an opportunity for a reset. And I'll just keep reminding them. It's an invitation.
Yeah, I think that's great. I think it one of the things we've talked about, we were talking about it before we started our show, the vaccine and how it's being distributed or not being distributed. Rabbi, if you see that as something positive, something negative, is that another place people can get kind of socially active around? It seems like everything I've read, that the vaccine is kind of haphazard. And how does that affect you guys going forward and all three of you, your plans for the future?
Well, clearly this is a game changer. There's no question that if we can get the vaccine distributed, we can get the vaccine into people's arms, that enough people can do this, that we can start to seriously talk about returning to a place where we can be more together. So, the advice, of course, is first of all, don't be stupid. This disease is serious. The new strain is a concern. People need to not get together with people that you don't cheat even once. It doesn't work that way. You've just got to be careful. Delay your gratification. Don't get together with others as much as you want to, unless it's completely safe. And then trust the science. The vaccine works. There is a set of people who just object to vaccines, and I'm sorry they do, because I think they're deeply wrong. And I don't think it's what we're supposed to be doing here on Earth. We're here to save lives, and the vaccine will do that. So I hope that people will get vaccinated. And whether it's at the point where we're going to have to start getting into protests about how government is doing this is too early to say at this point. Let's just watch and see and make sure it works.
I think you're right there. I think we may have maybe a different approach going forward as we get to Inauguration Day. You know, some things may change. And I think that's a great suggestion. Just let's wait and see what the future holds for us. And I apologize for interrupting you there, Rabbi.
No. I just also wanted to talk. I want to get back to the first question, too. I have to and say a few things about the idea of New Year's resolutions. So I have a former congregant who every year, this is the in the Jewish calendar, this is the year 5781. And every year after Rosh Hashanah, he writes, don't you just hate it when you write 5780 on your checks? And I tell you this because, you know, there are all kinds of different New Years and different seasons. And what Reverend Kathy talked about with Lent and then Easter in the Christian tradition, for us as Jews, is the month of Elul, the month before Rosh Hashanah, which is the beginning of the year, and then the starting with the new year. So the month of Elul is regarded as a time for what's called in Hebrew Cheshbon HaNefesh, that is an accounting of your soul. You're supposed to sit down and think about all the things you did right and all the things you did wrong, and spend the year trying to figure out how to do, again, throw another Hebrew word at you, teshuva, which literally means repentance, but what it really means is turning around to going to walk on the right path again. Reverend Kathy is the term, right path. So that's our version of it. And the expression that's been given is, the example that's been given is, if you have saw yourself do something wrong and you are in the same place and you do the right thing this time, you've now turned onto the right path. And so that seems crucial for each of us. And, you know, and we have our Jewish year, we do it in late summer in Elul, but you know, whatever it is, the concept of doing this around a change of season, so it could be secular New Year. There's no limit on when you can start getting yourself fixed up and doing it the right way. So as good a time as any. And start looking at that and figuring out what is it that we could be doing better. I mean, I for one could try to avoid getting down the rabbit hole of social media quite as often as I do. I'm going to work on that. I've been working on that, not very successfully, but I'm working on it. And for our country to look at what we have done, and we see, you know, the recent decision in the killing of Jacob Blake, Breonna Taylor, George Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery, you know, it seems like we keep doing the same thing instead of getting ourselves to doing it the right way. And finally, as a nation, as to resolutions, Abraham Lincoln said it best. We here highly resolve that this country under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. Those phrases, which are carved in stone on the Lincoln Memorial, have often seemed, oh, just things out of the history books, and that was interesting that they said that back then, but they are here every day, and we have to highly resolve to protect the greatest gift that America has ever had, which is the gift of a democratic republic.
Amen.
I think that is very eloquently put, Rabbi Tom, and I want everybody to take note of the multiple syllable word I just used. So go ahead, Pandora.
I think that this has been a really interesting discussion on looking forward into 2021 and whether or not we set a personal goal at this time or at another time of year and how we use it, I think depends on each one of us. And at this time of COVID, it's always somewhat unknown. It's not as we've done it in the past. So it'll be a learning experience. And as we look back on this year, it will be interesting to see what happened. But as we kind of bring our show to a close today, as is our tradition, we always have a spiritual focus to help us kind of close the lens on the conversation. And I would like to ask Reverend Eric if he would lead us in this part of the program. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Pandora. And once again, I just can't thank everyone at the radio station and my two colleagues for the ministry that we do together on this program. It touches my heart, and hope it'll touch the hearts of our community. I want to note something very special about this morning, which is that we've had the news of one of our colleagues in ministry, Reverend Raphael Warnock, an African American minister at the heart of the church at the center of the civil rights movement, Ebenezer Baptist Church. Looks as though he will be the Reverend Dr. Senator Raphael Warnock. What a blessing that can be for our country. And I put that in the context of a really important and well-known sentiment from the book of Ecclesiastes, where the preacher shares a powerful lesson about faith for all of us. That's fairly familiar. He wrote, "What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. And with new years and resolutions and intentions in mind, I hope we'll hold on to the trust that sentiment brings, that as unlikely and perhaps impossible as great turnings may sometimes see, it's actually the nature of creation for that to happen. May we be enablers of those great turnings in our lives and in the lives of the community and the world." And I'll close with a few words written by my colleague at the First Parish Church in Framingham, Reverend Aaron Stockwell. "In this new year, let us be amazed. Let us search for new life and hope in our midst. Let us nurture creativity in every form. Let us be reminded that new insights of the universe are always being made. In this new year, let us be amazed.
So may it be, and amen. Blessings.
Amen.
And
that's great, Reverend Eric. I think just our discussion today for something that initially when we exchanged information and emails, we may have looked at as being a lighter discussion than we have had over, say, the past few months. I think turned out the exact opposite. But that's great. That's one of the beauties, I think, of this show, that the three of you, as well as Pandora, just can, with your wisdom, take us down paths that maybe we didn't even think of when we were exchanging ideas prior to doing the show. So thank you all for that. I want to let our listeners, and I put quotes up on that, because it still amazes me that anyone's listening to something I'm involved with other than myself, that we received quote unquote fan mail. Dr. Pandora Carlucci got a fan letter, but we wanted to make sure that we let you all know who are listening. You can reach us at any time. If there's something you want us to talk about, address, or just a comment, and please, positive as well as the negative. We want to be able to bring a show, I think, that people want to listen to, not necessarily what the five of us want to do, because we're your goal, and I think all our goals, is to serve that community. So you can reach us at info@franklin.tv. You can also go to our website, franklin.tv, and just click on the Contact Us button, and that will take you to a link to our email address. So we'd love to hear from you, listeners, but all positive, negative suggestions for a show, topics you want our esteemed panel here to cover. We're here to serve you. We're not here to do our own show. It's not our show. As I think Pandora and I say every month, we're just along for the ride. And we're honored to be a part of that ride. So thank you for that. But just wanted to point that out. And so Pandora, I'll let you take it. You're the one who got the fan mail. So.
The fan mail was for the team. It just was my address was probably easy to find. And it was really, it was shared by everyone on the team. And it gave us this thought that we wanted to reach out to you to see, as Jay had said, if you had any thoughts, suggestions, topics that you thought would be of interest to the greater community and to the panel. And before we close out, is there anything else from anyone, or should we say goodbye? I will thank Pete Fasciano and Keith Palmieri, who keep us on the air. And we thank you. And on behalf of our faith leaders, of a priest, a rabbi, and a minister walk into a radio station, I thank you for listening. Have a good day.